proclaimed the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. We have been looking at various heroes of the faith mentioned in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Having looked at the lives of Abel and Enoch, we now turn our attention to Noah. The writer of Hebrews wrote, quote, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith," unquote. The Old Testament narrative in the book of Genesis shed further light about that statement. The first reference to Noah can be found in Genesis chapter 5. Noah was a great-grandson of Enoch, mentioned in the previous session. Perhaps Noah, over the course of his life, speculated about what happened to his progenitor, the only man to that point who had never experienced death. The statement that Noah was 500 years old may have indicated his age when God told him to construct an ark. Noah found the three sons mentioned in this order, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. From these three came the ancestors of the human race. Since the creation, mankind had grown more depraved than before. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, the author noted that, quote, "God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil continually," unquote. God resolved to destroy the human race and begin with Noah and his family. He stated that his spirit would not always strive with man. Then he made another statement, quote, "His days shall be 120 years, unquote. As evidenced by the scripture, that didn't necessarily refer to the length of the human lifespan. It might, however, have indicated that duration of time that God gave for Noah's generation to repent of their wicked ways and cry out to God for forgiveness. What about Noah himself? The author of Genesis described Noah in the following terms, quote, "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God," unquote. The use of the Hebrew adjective tamim, rendered as perfect, did not imply that Noah had never sinned. Rather, it indicated the blamelessness that characterized his life. Even though Noah was blameless, he still needed to receive God's grace in order to escape God's judgment. We read in Genesis 6 that God told Noah, quote, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." He instructed Noah to construct a large vessel whose dimensions would measure approximately 450 feet long by 75 feet high by 45 feet wide. God then declared, quote, "I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die," unquote. Noah had a decision to make. Was he going to obey God, or was he going to ignore the divine mandate? If Noah chose to obey God, he might have reasoned, he could well become the object of ridicule. After all, God had never sent rain upon the earth, much less a flood of waters. Yet, if he ignored God's mandate, knowing the character of God as he did, Noah might have realized that he and his family would also partake of God's judgment and suffer thereby. In our next lesson, we will look at the choice that Noah made and why Noah made that choice. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another session regarding the Bible.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.